Welcome back, everyone, to Nerd Parents. This is episode 6, and we are a group of friends and parents who happen to be parents that come together every week in a positive space to discuss parenting in a nerdy world. Just a friendly reminder that every kid is different, and so are we. So please do your research and find out what is right for your family, because what's right for mine may not be right for yours. I'm your host, Nicole Spagnolo. I myself have a 2-year-old son named Mateo, and this week our parenting panel includes some regulars and a new parent to the show. So we have Samantha Jane. Samantha,
hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And Samantha,
how are you?
I'm great. Well, actually, I'm lying. I'm not that great, but I won't go into it. I'll go into it later.
Okay.
But Samantha, you have a 4-year-old son named Will. Yes.
I have young Master Will, who is adorable.
And he's so cute when
he's cute.
Well, most kids are always cute from afar, right? So
yes, this is very true. And he's also cute up close, too.
Yes, he
is. Good.
Well, in the sense of far being on your Facebook page.
Right. Yes. And I just did that Facebook movie, and it's basically all pictures of my kids.
That's what I was referring to. Which was very telling of my life right now. Same for me, too. So, and then we also have joining us again, Carrie.
Hello, internet, because you're so used to me as Carrie, right? You guys probably know me as Cleo, and I am the mom to 3 lovely little children. My 14-year-old's name is Sarah, my 12-year-old's name is Eden, and my 4-year-old minion is named Colin.
Minion!
What's it? Minion.
And then also,
I love the Minions.
Yes, oh, I do too. I heard they're making a Minion movie, by the way, which I'm really excited about.
That is awesome.
And then also our special guest this week is the one and only the Trek nerd himself, Daryl. Daryl, how do you pronounce your last name? Do you want to say your last name?
It's really simple, just the way it looks. Skeels.
Skeels.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Skeels. No. So Daryl also does a segment on the morning stream where Scott Johnson and Brian Ibbitt try to stump him. And you know what? I have to say, you're really good at that segment.
I wasn't so good this morning.
Oh, but I didn't hear it this morning. But I think I stepped in for you one time, and I'm like, this is hard. Like,
yeah.
So much Star Trek out there that those quizzes are pretty intense sometimes.
So much Star Trek, so little time.
So, Daryl, would you like to introduce your family?
Sure. I have a almost 18-year-old Dylan, who was at Nerdtacular a couple times.
I didn't realize you had an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
and then an almost 10-year-old Jeremy. Everybody's almost something, and then Violet is almost 4.
So I think Violet is one that I remember, like, when you were talking to me about parenting, I think you were going through, like, a lot of sleep issues with Violet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yes, she is the darling that doesn't sleep.
I commiserated with you a lot in Mateo's early days, because Mateo was the same way. He just didn't want to sleep. And what do you do with a kid or a baby that doesn't want to sleep? You slowly go insane is what you do.
Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
So has it gotten better? A little
somewhat, but she still wakes up crying as though something in the night is sad. I don't know. It's like you think eventually they're going to sleep through the night, and then you start wondering, what does sleep through the night mean, and when does that happen?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because when you don't really realize until the sleep is gone how it just affects everything in your world. Like, if you don't have sleep, it just, your food, your eating schedule's off, your mood is off, just everything just crumbles.
And your brain stops working.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a lot of people, I would say companies, make a crap load of money. Because when you're at that desperate, I mean, I was to the point, I don't know if Daryl, you got here, I was interviewing people to stay up with Mateo while I slept. I'm like,
oh yeah,
a night nurse.
Of getting a babysitter on Saturday afternoon and just saying, please take him to the park.
No, I was looking at night nurses. Sleep. I was looking at night nurses. Like,
oh yeah,
yeah.
I can see that too.
And that's serious. Like,
yeah,
that was a eye-opening experience for me there too. But wow. Yeah, it was rough until, and I haven't talked about this on the show. We hired I call her the baby bully.
Oh,
because she came in and she was a sleep consultant. So as a new parent, I don't know what the hell we're doing, especially right. with sleep and all that stuff. And I had a lot of hangups with him crying. And she, I mean, looking back, I'm thankful that she came in and worked with us, because what she did was point out that it wasn't Mateo's issue, it was my issue. And oh. she specifically asked me, do you think he should have overnight sleep, you know, 8 hours of solid or 12 hours of solid sleep? And I'm like, well, yes. So she was like making it about me, and I had to like respond, and they seem like logical questions, but when you're in that thick of it and you have no, like, your brain just goes mush when you are sleeping well. So when she was asking me these questions, I'm like, well, of course, of course. And then she's like, okay, then you're going to need to listen to me. And she gave me a schedule. Like, she put me on a routine, and then she went in there, and she was a little drastic. And I called her the baby bully, because the way she worked it was, you put the baby to sleep at 7, you walk out the door and you close it, and you don't open it until 7 o'clock the next day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do this. I was like, so I actually, again, one of the reasons why I say the every kid's different at the top of the show every single time is because I know I always forgot, like even in the thick of it, it's hard to sometimes just look at your child and go, and you get bogged down with books and things and everything like that. So that's why that's like my little mantra at the top of the show, because I think I'm just reminding myself too.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. There's a big school of thought out there when it comes to sleep, whether they call it sleep training children.
Right.
Some people use what they call the cry it out method. Mm-hmm. And some people believe that nope, that's where you do the opposite and you keep them near you all the time and you respond to their cries. Exactly what you said, Nicole. It's whatever is going to work for you. You guys know what your kids' cries mean.
Yeah.
If my child is 4 hours into a sleep and I hear him cry, I might listen for a minute and then go, ooh, somebody needs a diaper.
Yeah.
Because I know that.
Yeah.
As opposed to mm-hmm. a kid who's just bored and has that kind of a, I'm by myself thing going right. on, you know? And so for her to come in and bully you, give me her mm-hmm. name. I'm going to
well,
give her
it was just, I called her that because it was such an extreme way to get our sleep back, and I took the bits of what she was saying, and because I will say she was helpful for me to get over because as a first-time parent, I didn't know what the cries meant. Like, it was hard for me to understand his cries. Now I get it, but in the first of it, I'm like, I just was that is that
well and
I'm
the thing is too or? Is that when you're dealing with that situation in the midst of sleep deprivation, your logic circuits aren't working very mm-hmm. well, and you're just running on fumes. So when somebody comes in and says, you are doing X and it is creating this situation, do you realize that? And you're like, oh my God, that's totally what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes a hard realization, especially when you're just trying to look after your kid. But if I go in when Will cries, mommy, I want a drink of water, then a few things are going to happen. He's going to learn that that's acceptable behavior. He's going to probably get his drink of water. He's probably going to overflow his night diaper. You know, there's all of these other things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, no, baby, it's sleep time. Go back to sleep.
Yeah. Well, especially as they get older, they kind of, they understand, oh, if I do this, then I don't have to go to sleep.
Yeah. If yes. I ask to go pee every 5 minutes for the next 2 hours, mommy's told me that I'm allowed to get up and go pee
right,
once I'm in bed. And it's like, oh, never mind.
They're magnificent little manipulators.
Yeah.
They know how to work us very quickly.
Well, and it's just infancy. It's just learning to game the system. Mm-hmm. It's just like anybody, right? They're learning what macros work and what don't.
So Daryl, did your older kids, did they have any sleep issues, or it was just Violet that
No, they were just fine. But Violet, we called her the Satan baby because she would cry, and make us crazy. But yeah. she is better.
Yeah.
Is she having like night terrors or something?
I don't think so. I think she just gets up and decides, oh, it's midnight. It's time to just get up and do whatever. And then she'll eventually go back to bed. And then she'll get up at 2 and do whatever and go back to bed. And then she'll get up at 4, do whatever, and go back to bed. God. But that, when you get woken up, your day is just sleepless and shot.
How have you not gone insane?
Maybe I have.
Oh, well,
there's that time. It is absolutely okay. And I hate the guilt that parents go through about this, but it's okay to let them cry a little bit, mm-hmm. if it's going to give you the 5 minutes of sanity you need to get your shit together. Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, you're going to have those moments.
You gave us an explicit tag. Cleo.
Oops, sorry. I'm used to Scott not dropping the F-bomb, but the S-bomb seems to be okay, so I forget about that. I'm sorry. I'll be better about that in the future.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I think that parents guilt themselves about, oh, God, I didn't do it, and oh, man. Sometimes it's okay to say, you're safe. Yeah. You're safe. Right. I'm safe. I need 5 minutes to kind of collect myself, and then mm-hmm. I can attend to you in a better place.
Yeah, yeah. I've had to do that before, the walking away. Because
I did that with my husband.
Parental guilt, well, you have to do it with everybody, really. The parental guilt is such a massive topic. I think we could probably do about, I don't know, 10 shows around.
Oh, yeah. Now, Daryl, did you in any of that process, did you look to outside resources like books or any of that stuff?
Not really. We went to her doctor and said and told them what was going on, and our doctor just said, oh, well, Einstein didn't sleep very much either, so you'll be just fine.
Oh, I
felt like sticking up as many middle fingers as I could find and stomping out of there. Or,
see, for me, it's the middle cross finger.
I just I want to punch them.
Yeah.
Not that I'm violent, really, I promise. But
go ahead.
No, it's just the concept that, hi, we're not getting enough sleep and we need help. And somebody's saying, oh, yeah, you know, kids.
It'll pass.
No.
Yeah.
No, at least lie to me. You know, tell me something.
Make me feel better.
Tell me to feed my child a small sip of chamomile tea before bed and see if that works. Like, tell me something.
Yeah. We ended up, we had a lot of people recommend books to us when we were going through our hard phase. And I can't remember if it was recommended or if we found it, but ironically, it was a book called The Baby Whisperer that helped me. Because what I was looking for was, you get all this theory around sleep. And they always, mm-hmm. you know, say a schedule. And I was like, well, I don't know what that means. Like, I've never put a child to sleep before. I don't know.
Right.
Like,
give me an example of a schedule.
Yeah, like, should I be starting at 8 o'clock? Should I be starting at 5 o'clock? I don't know. And when should these two naps be? And like, that all was so perplexing to me. And that was the only book that gave me a very helpful guideline. You know, you don't have to hit those times exactly, but I just wanted to get an idea.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, sorry.
It's different. It is different for all kids, I think, because we'd go to other people's houses and with playdates and stuff, and their kids would drop dead at 7 o'clock. Oh, I'm so tired, and be yawning and rubbing their eyes. And Violet would just be going full blast until about 9 o'clock. So we made her bedtime 9 o'clock, even though that seems really late.
Well, I had one friend, her kids' bedtime was like 10 because she worked late. So they adjusted, they moved it. So for them, that worked, and the kids were fine, and they got their, you know, 11, 12 hours of sleep, and they just stayed up later so they could see mom at night because she worked a different mm-hmm. shift.
Yeah, that's how it is at our house too.
Well, and that's how it is with us. Like, Will goes to bed at 9 o'clock. We start him on his wind down at 8:30, but we get up at 7:38 mm-hmm. in the morning because we start later. So that's just what works.
Well, and I will say, and Cleo, I don't know if you've had this experience. Once I feel like I've gotten his sleep, Mateo's sleep down, he'll change. He'll go through a developmental like spike, and he'll go through a growth phase, and like everything's shifted. I'm like, well, we're back to square one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, Colin is my night owl. My other two kids are pretty comfortable. I mean, Sarah's at the age now where she's like, look, I got school tomorrow. I got to get my butt to bed. So mm-hmm. she is, which is very nice to have a child who will actually, you know their limits and say, if I don't get to sleep, I'm going to be a nightmare tomorrow.
Right.
I haven't figured that out yet, and I'm 43. So I'm glad she's got it down at 14 because I'm not there yet. But I've never really been a super slave to bedtimes.
Yeah.
For us, it's been kind of like I was working full-time nights for a long time. So, and my husband was working days. So he was home with the kids. I never really kind of knew what was going on at nighttime. And then when I came home, I noticed that, well, the kids were kind of pretty self-modulating. I mean, you'd mm-hmm. give them dinner, they'd get a little tired, they'd get bored, they'd fall asleep. I mean, it just kind of worked out that way. But Colin, definitely during a growth spurt, or even Eden through a growth spurt, there is going to be, you know, all of a sudden he's coming down the stairs at 1 a.m. Hi, what you do? Oh, no, let's not go there.
No,
or Eden has no volume control. So she'll wake up and I have a video monitor in her room and you'll hear la, 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 la. I mean, at like ridiculously high volume. She's just talking away, looking at her TV, talking to it, because she has no concept of there being like a need for a certain period of like circadian rhythm sleep. It just doesn't. So we've never been super slaves to it. If they are tired during the day, Colin will take one nap a day still, and I hope he keeps taking naps for as long as he can because he has no idea what he's missing when he gets to college. Yeah. But I never felt like that circadian rhythm thing really fit them really well, but mm-hmm. I think that they all fall into it, you know, mm-hmm. as they get older and they start feeling better and they just start controlling their own world. They know when they're tired and they poop out.
I find that if Mateo stays up too late, he wakes up early. Like 5 a.m.
Yes.
early.
Yes.
And you would think it would be the opposite.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I went to bed, you know, late, so I'm going to sleep in. That works with adults. It does not work with kids.
And no, I find that the better rested he is, the better he sleeps.
Yeah, me too.
Which is like, it's a crazy concept, but it's like on the weekend, I will try and let Will get a really long nap in the middle of the day, which is hard to convince him to do. But then he'll sleep in the morning.
Yeah.
One of the things that we have just started doing, actually, since Eden's been in the hospital, and it was something that my sister-in-law did, and I never really put a whole lot of – I don't want to say put a lot of stock in it because that sounds mean and kind of rude. But it was one of those things where I was like, oh, okay. She my brother's wife would give their daughter melatonin before she would go to bed. And I never thought anything of it. And I was like, oh, okay. You're one of those parents who drugs them up.
Okay. Oh, no, that stuff is great.
Yeah, when I got to the hospital with Eden, when they pulled her out of a coma, because she had been asleep for 4 days, it's really, really hard for kids to sleep at that point. I mean, they physically can't even force it, even with the neurological meds that she's on. So they were like, well, let's try melatonin. And all I could hear in my head was, told you so. Mm-hmm. And I went, okay, I guess so. And it is a miracle. Am I going to say that I didn't sneak it into Colin's drink? No, I've done it. But Sarah will take it on her own if she knows she's going to bed. And Eden gets 3 milligrams every night. And it's something your body naturally makes when you're getting tired anyway. So it's a great, great, great little tidbit.
When I was traveling a lot, so I spent 13 years on the road going to all kinds of different time zones, I would take melatonin when my flight would land. So by the time I would get to my hotel, I'd be like, okay, I'm ready to, even though I just went from the West Coast to the, you know, East Coast, it's a great, and in fact, a friend of mine, tragically was blinded. He was in a car accident and he was the one that told me about it because he was having insomnia and the doctor had given him melatonin, and that was how he got his sleep back in order after he was blinded. So it's really, I always recommend that to people when they can't sleep as well.
Yeah, it works really well. It doesn't so much make you tired as much as it lets you kind of just chill and relax.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can sleep.
So
I like this idea a lot.
Have you heard of melatonin, Samantha?
I have vaguely, but I mean, I never really looked into it. Mm-hmm. I've had sleep issues since Will was born. Before Will was born, I slept through rock concerts. Like, it's legendary what Sam can sleep through. As soon as Will was born, if a pin drops
three miles away,
yeah. I wake up.
Yeah. The mom ears are on. I'm the same way.
And the thing is, I don't just wake up. I sit up in bed like, I don't know, a Dalek or something. Like, it's just insane how quick my response is. And then, of course, Randy's like, oh, my God, we're being invaded. What's going on? Oh, no.
Colin will come into my room in the middle of the night and just stand there and stare at you. And so when you sense something and you open your – because, you know, the mom sense, you sense someone's there. So you kind of open your eyes slowly because you're expecting to have to grab the baseball bat and chase someone out of the house.
Right.
And that's a story for another day. And all of a sudden, there's a small shadow by my face and I hear, hi, Mom. Like,
see, we have such a –
so creepy.
The distance between our bedroom and Mateo's bedroom is very long, and there's office and there's stuff that – I just don't want him out of his room. So I actually use a monkey hook. Have you ever heard of these things?
Yes, I've heard of those.
They are awesome. So they go at the top of the door. You can get them on Amazon for like $12. They are totally worth it. You put them at the top of the door, and it's just a little hook. It's called a monkey hook. And we put this on the pantry. We put him on his door. So it actually leaves his door open, but he can't open it from the top. And, you know, of course, I had the mom guilt. I'm like, oh, should I be putting him in his locking him in his bedroom? And I'm like, well, the door's open. I can hear him clearly. If something's wrong, I know it's wrong. I know it's something's wrong. Because other people recommend putting a baby gate in front of a door. I'm sorry. Little man's going to climb over that. So,
right? Like, Will could climb over those things when he was, like, I don't know, 8 months old. Yeah. It was ridiculous. Yeah.
You're setting them up for track and field.
Right?
Yeah, it's an obstacle course to get to the Spagnolo's room.
Yeah.
Put all the boxes and things in the way and watch him hurdle them. As he
so,
gets
yeah,
them.
That's how that's how Mateo stays in his room. But when he gets older, I'm sure, you know, he's just now starting to comprehend things that I'm saying to him. So, like, with the whole tot clock being blue, I say to him, Bubby, the light is blue. You need to stay in bed until it's yellow. And he gets it. Like, he stays in bed. And I think he wakes up, but he stays in bed because that light is still blue until it goes yellow.
We use a similar system here. And just repeatedly putting him back in bed. And it gets to, like, after the second time of him getting up, we just pick him up, put him in bed, don't say a word, like no communication, no hugs, no cuddles, no nothing. Put him in bed, put the covers over him, wave goodnight, close the door.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I'm not getting anything out of this anymore, and he will stop.
Yeah, see, Mateo, when
my kids are just afraid of me. Yeah. I don't ever close the door. I just look at them and go, don't get up. And they go,
how about you, Daryl? Okay. Do you have a process of...
Our sleeping arrangement is a little weird because we don't have enough rooms for all of us. So Violet is actually in our room at her little bed is at the foot of our bed. But
well, that must make it interesting.
Yeah, so she can get up and just walk over and say, Daddy, I want this or that.
Does she crawl in bed sometimes with you?
Well, we have kind of a rule that if the sun is up, then you can come in our bed and rest there till we get up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Light's yellow.
But if the sun is down and it's nighttime, you need to go back in bed. And we do the same thing that Sam Jane said, where we just put her in bed and don't say a word.
Right.
Just put you back in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, then, since we've talked sleep quite a bit, let's move into some of our ups and downs for the week. This is where we like to at least talk about a positive thing that might have happened and maybe a not so positive. Sometimes we all have both of them. For me, my up and down is the same thing.
Oh, boy.
So I took Mateo with his grandmother to the zoo, and we went to the little restaurant. And Mark is out of town, so it's just me and Mateo this week. And he had a meltdown. And I honestly I was like, if they come back, just package up the food and let's just go. So I took him out front and I'm like, Bubby, you need to settle down. If you don't settle down, we're going to leave. And I was like, and he was going, eat, eat, eat. I'm like, oh, damn it. He's hungry. And they're just slow. They're so slow. So we just stayed out front for a while. And when he did calm down, we went in and we sat down there. And the minute we sat down, they brought out the food and he just started eating. Nice. And then he was good. And my mom. Yeah. And so that was my, that down, that, that process of parenting in public, like you were saying, Cleo, it was, it's a little nerve wracking for me, but I was like, you know what? He's having a fit. So let's move him from the situation and at least give him time to calm down and, you know, do all that stuff. And then my mom leaned over and she said, you did really good with that. You, and I was like, she's like, yeah, which is, it made me, yeah. I just was like, wow, really? So I'm like, I was like, I felt like I was like the worst ever. So she was very complimentary and it made my day. So
that's awesome.
So we got through it.
Way to go.
Yeah. Daryl, how about you? Do you have an up or a down that you want to share?
I've been thinking about this all week. I can't really think of anything that was really great or not.
Well, it doesn't have to
I guess just stability has been good. They haven't, there haven't been any really up, horrible, I was going to say horrible ups and good downs, but you know what I mean? This has just been stable. Everybody's been great, doing good in school and... I don't know. I don't really have anything. No, I guess that's a good thing.
I think that's a great thing. Yeah. When things are just kind of moving along, that's a good thing. So
as far as sleep, Violet's been doing okay. So did she even get up last night? I don't think she even did.
There you go. Huge positive.
Yeah, that is a good positive.
I always like it when I can... When I can sleep till 7, I'm like, oh my gosh, today's going to be an amazing day.
Yeah, yes, I like it when I can sleep till 5.
Oh, Daryl. Really, Daryl?
Yes.
How early? Oh, yeah, that's a 5 a.m. Those are rough. But it's funny, though, when you're in the thick of it, like when that's your norm, that time, you just kind of roll with it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's almost like when they tease you with that 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
One day.
That's a weekend.
Yeah.
The thing about weekends is the kids don't know about weekends. So if they wake you up every morning at 3, it's every day. Yeah. You don't get to ever sleep in.
Right.
Oh, that's very true.
How about you, Sam?
Well, an up this week was proof of Will's intense need to learn.
Oh, wow.
And it was really, really cool. Randy dropped him off at play school and his teacher asked Randy, you know, how's it going? And Randy's like, we're really excited because he's so interested in space right now. And he's learning all of this stuff about space and he's retaining it. And she's like, oh, really? Will, what's the largest planet? And Randy's like, oh, God, testing. And Will just turned around and goes, Jupiter. And Randy's like, oh, thank God. And she's like, what's the one with the rings? And he's like, Saturn. And then he runs off and plays with his friends. And I'm just like, yay.
He's like, mommy, daddy, I got this.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's, if you ask him the largest moon, too, it's pretty cool. But it's just, I love seeing his brain turn on.
Mm-hmm.
And just these stages are absolutely fascinating to me.
It kind of, it's wild to watch, right?
Just, it is. Yeah. It's wild because you're like, you couldn't do this last month and now you do this thing and it's thrilling to watch. And what else can I feed you to keep it going? And, you know, here's a book on the latest space probe to Mars, you know, or, you know, hey, mommy knows this person who's working on spacecraft. Do you want mommy to ask her a question? You know, and it's like... Yes, I want to go to Mars. I'm like, well, okay. Anything else?
Have you heard of abcmouse.com?
No.
So there's a website called abcmouse.com, and I haven't had a chance to sign up for it, but it is all that fun-based learning. So learning about planets, and it's meant to really engage kids. We watch a lot of Baby First TV, and there's the commercials for it. And I'm like, I need to check that out because it gets really good reviews on it. So it's
definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, abcmouse.com is the site. And I'm sure there's probably like a free trial or whatever that he could probably even just play and give it a try, see if it captures him, because it's more the gamification of learning. So,
right,
you know, all the little apps that we talk about, this is like the a site completely devoted to math, to spelling, to all of it. So
that would be awesome.
It's used it's used in a lot of classrooms too. So a lot of teachers use that in some of their learning plans. So thought
very cool.
Yeah, give it a shot. How about, do you have a down or everything?
He might be the second most stubborn person on the planet. Only eclipsed by myself. And Randy will just look at him going, why are you arguing this point? I don't want to wear this t-shirt. Why? I don't like it. Yesterday it was your favorite t-shirt. Like, and it's like, no, I have to go pick my own t-shirt. And we had this huge argument over a t-shirt.
Oh.
And it's me and Will arguing. And Randy's like, why is this even an issue? Mm-hmm. Like, either just get another t-shirt or who cares, right? Like, it's just a t-shirt.
But you're in the thick of it, right?
But I'm in the thick of it. Will's in the thick of it. And we're both staring at each other with exactly the same look on our face, like identical. And it's just, and Randy's just like, I'm taking you to school. And Will's like, but I want a different t-shirt, right? And that's the last I see of Will walking at the door. And I'm just like, that's not good. And then Randy calls me after he's dropped Will off and said, it was great. It was fine. We played games. We did 1, 2, 3 bounce, you know, like he was fine being dropped off at school. And I'm still like, yeah, but I'm not okay.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about, Cleo, you've even talked about this kind of in the past. It's like, you know, winning the war versus winning the fight, right?
Yes.
Like picking your battles. And we have a similar thing with Mateo. He's on a goldfish kick right now. The boy wants to eat goldfish every freaking meal. Like, he wakes up, goldfish. You know, lunch, goldfish. Like, and I'm like, you know, the way his appetite works, if he just gets a little food, kind of like us, you know, you get a little food and you go, oh, I actually am hungry.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I give him a handful of goldfish. So Mark's away. I'm like, because Mark won't give him goldfish in the morning. Honey, by the way, I'm giving him goldfish in the morning. I'm only giving him like, you know, 3 or 4 of them. But then that gets him going toast or egg.
Right.
So yeah. I just kind of look at it as this little pre-appetizer cracker.
It's an amuse-bouche.
Yeah, exactly. Cleo, are you still with us? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. Uh-oh. We lost Cleo. Oh, no. You know what? We had problems last time. I'm going to hang up on her and see if she comes back. We had a little issue with her Skype, I think, dropping. So
bad Skype.
Yeah, well, she'll come back. So, and she'll tell us her ups and downs. So we also have our fun little Internet is Fun segment where, you know, there's an amazing number of articles online. And one that caught my eye, I don't know if you saw this, Olive Garden bans kids in the best possible way. Have you seen this article? So this is one from one of my, I don't know if I call it my favorite, but it does seem like I read a lot of articles from Babbel. Do you ever go to Babbel.com?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Yeah. So apparently Olive Garden, because when you're here, you're family, but don't bring your family. Apparently.
I don't like this idea.
Yeah. So they have decided to offer parents the opportunity to dine without their kids by paying somebody else to watch them. So
what?
Yes. Yes.
Is it their people that they pay to watch them?
Yeah, they are.
Or how do we know that they're not hiring weirdos?
Well, I'm guessing, you know, kind of like when you go to the grocery store, there's some grocery stores that have like that, you know, drop your kid off here. And
which grocery stores? I need these grocery stores right
there's,
now.
There's one out here called Bash's in Arizona that you can do that. They have like a whole like kid center. You drop your kid off at the kid center and you go do your shopping.
Albertsons, if you're listening, I'll stop going to Amazon Fresh if you just do this.
I'm sure there's probably some in California. I would think
yes, but they're probably like,
yeah.
Oh, that's expensive. Called the beach.
Oh, she's back.
Just drop them off at the beach. There you go.
Right?
Go shopping.
So yeah. So Olive Garden has kind of created, there's a, It's not in Olive Garden, so it's not like you go in and you drop your kids off and go have
lunch. That's what I thought it was.
It's like a side thing, like a My Gym, or have you ever been to Gymboree? those kinds of places. So the idea is that you go there, you eat, you have your kids, you get a basically valeted or what do they call it when they sign off your ticket? So they, a voucher or whatever. So you get a voucher and you give it to this place.
So they validate your
kids.
That's nice.
Are they going to put a stamp on his forehead? Because that would be awesome.
So, I mean, I like this idea that, you know, at least a restaurant is trying to do something instead of just complaining and saying, no, you can't bring your kids. They're actually trying to provide a solution.
It's a toddler coat check. That's special.
I like the concept of free babysitting. I have to research it more. Because it's like one of those.
Well, you would have to research if you're local. I don't know if all of them are doing it. You know, it might be a small rollout.
Now you know where all the in-house wine goes.
Right. To the babysitter.
Exactly. Who wants a bottle? Come here.
I mean, would this, Daryl, would this encourage you to go to Olive Garden if they would watch Violet for you?
Well, if I knew who was actually watching her, if I could meet them and knew they weren't weirdos.
Yeah.
Well, it would be a, it would be a licensed
Exactly. Daycare.
So according to Fox News, My Gym, which is a chain of children's activity centers, will be the place where kids can play while their parents eat. So My Gym, like Gymboree, is a, you know, all of the people that work there, they're certified with CPR. Like they have to go through like a whole thing.
There's a couple of questions.
At My Gym. We have one of these at my gym and in-house daycare. Right. So if you want to work out for a couple of hours, you can leave your kids there.
Yeah, mine does that too. Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, so a couple of questions. Are they going to feed your kid?
Yeah.
Because
that's a good point.
You know, you're eating, so you need them to eat at the same time.
Yeah.
Second question. Don't we want our kids to learn how to act in a restaurant?
That's true.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, yes.
I mean, my whole up and down was we were in a restaurant, but thankfully it was at the zoo. It's the zoo restaurant. So there's like, you know, a ton of crazy kids screaming and yelling. So my screaming and yelling kid, you don't even notice.
Well, and that's the thing. Like Olive Garden is, we're family, right? So wouldn't you expect families to be welcome there? And that
your family,
kids?
Unless you're under the age of 7.
Right.
Then you're in the coat closet for a while. Yeah. I mean, there's just so much that goes into this, opening some kind of a daycare. Are you going to change diapers? Do you take special needs kids?
Right.
What do you do if there's an emergency? Who do you call first? How do you know you have them? What if kids need medication? I mean, they're heading down a rabbit hole of like completely like black hole proportions.
But I think I would think that the My Gym has that already in place.
Oh, yeah, one would hope.
Yeah.
So My Gym is kind of like a more casual drop-in type place, right?
It does seem. What, the My Gym?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing it's just like, I mean, because they have those these types of places around here in Phoenix where it's just a playground kind of place.
Right. That's what ours is like. It looks kind of like the inside of a gymnasium.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We have one called the Little Gym out here that I actually took Sarah to for gymnastics lessons. And it's sponsored with groups. There's probably groups of 5 to 10 kids, and they stay with two teachers, and they jump over obstacles, and let's do cartwheels, let's go bounce on this. And they kind of do these supervised activities with people who are trained,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be with the kids and stuff like that. But yeah, my concern would definitely be a lot more of Daryl's too. Like, what are your hiring practices?
Right.
How am I to know that you've made the choices that I would for my kid?
Right.
Yeah. What is your review on Yelp?
Yes.
If this isn't in the restaurant, then do they take a bus to it? Is it an hour away or where is it?
You would think, you know, there's some kind of partnership with them that it would be like ideally next door.
Yeah.
Right.
So I know the Olive Garden near us is in a, it's in one of those shopping centers. So it's like the restaurant, and then there would be, you know, all kinds of different stores a little further, you know, within walking distance. But I could see a little place like that opening up. So maybe they're partnering up. That'd be kind of nice. I wouldn't mind that, honestly.
I'd love to actually work at one of those. I would love to work at one of those centers. Would you guys like to leave your kids with me while you go have dinner? Yikes. Yeah, you come back and they're going to be doing weird, nerdy crafts and whatnot. But I would love to do something like that. I would feel better knowing that there are parents that work there. Maybe if they don't exactly have the same you know, philosophies that I do, but at least they understand the importance and value of keeping the kids safe, and that the kids need to understand that we're not dropping you off here because we don't enjoy your company. Sometimes mom and dad need a little sanity time, and that's okay. Thank you, Thorin.
Mm-hmm. And if it's fun, then it's a treat for them too. So who knows?
Exactly.
I'd be interested in hearing more about it. I'm
going to do some research.
I just like the fact that Olive Garden is trying, because I can imagine, depending on who you are, Olive Garden, I know for where I grew up, Olive Garden was a high-end restaurant. It was. For some people, not so much. But for where I grew up, it was the fancy place. And
see, I think
you got dressed up. And
I'm having to revise my likes because I'm Canadian, so you guys don't know any of the restaurants that I reference. So in Canada, there's Earl's, which I kind of put on the same wavelength. So it's the place that you go to eat once every couple of weeks.
Right.
So it's not super fancy. It's not like a Houston's or a, well, even Red Lobster's a little bit more expensive down here. But it's more like a, I don't know what, like a Red Robin.
Okay. Yeah. That's
the way I think of Olive Garden.
Oh no. See, I don't. I don't think those are the same at all.
Interesting.
Red Robin to me is kids. That's all about the kids. So I have no problem taking a Mateo. Now Olive Garden, I kind of would. So I hear somebody who's doing what?
That was me. My 14-year-old was actually sitting here listening to the show with us and was making comments. I haven't said any of them yet, but yeah, she was making a comment and I was just pointing at her going, watch yourself. So, yeah.
Love
Sorry.
It.
Distraction.
But the whole point is you hear a lot of people going, or you'll see this on Twitter, I can't believe that person brought this kid in this restaurant. It's like, how are these kids going to learn? I mean, it kind of sucks that they're learning on your time, but just lighten up, you know?
Well, no, but good parents just do exactly what you did with Mateo. If they're having a problem, you remove them from the situation and you use it as a teaching moment. And it's not, kids are human beings too.
Right.
And they're not second class citizens. They just need a chance to learn. And sometimes that's a difficult process for them.
Yeah.
And parents have to be mindful of that. And I don't know.
There's positives and negatives on both sides.
Yeah,
so
I think it's an interesting concept. And if it got to the point where it's like, it was getting too much and Randy and I actually needed to have a human conversation with each other and not be interrupted every 5 minutes, I would take Olive Garden up on this.
Well, and Mark and I have already discussed when I was pregnant, we were like, okay, how are we going to handle restaurants? If he's going nuts, you take him, I'll wrap everything up and we'll go. that's our plan. Like we will handle. Is that what you guys do too?
That's exactly what we do. If Eden gets a little loud, or if she has a seizure that we think is going to make people uncomfortable, I just give Aaron, we have, you know, kind of like a call sign. I give him like the one eyebrow up and a wink and a wave, and he just goes, got it. And he just starts wrapping stuff up. He just gets the attention of the waitress, and he's like, hey, you know, we kind of have to take off. You know, we appreciate all your service and all the things you've done for us, but we kind of have a moment where we need to leave. Can you just kind of help me get things together? He doesn't make a production out of it because he doesn't want it to draw more attention to the fact that we're trying to leave. So he just kind of get things together, and I just head for the door. Usually with Colin behind me going, but I want my breadsticks. Nobody wants your breadsticks.
They're unlimited ice cream.
Yep. I got a free Coke. More chocolate milk.
How about you, Daryl? Do you have a process in place that you kind of...
It's about the same as everybody else. I mean, just like what you do, if one of the kids starts going nuts, we leave for a while and let them settle down and then we'll come back. Or if they're just out of control nuts, then we just... pack up.
Cut our losses, right?
Yeah.
The interesting thing is that I find that Will will act up more if he's hungry.
Yeah.
So if you walk into a restaurant knowing your kid is hungry, they're probably going to be a little bit more grumbly than if they've had, you know, a piece of toast on the way to the restaurant, which sounds counterintuitive, but
goldfish.
I can't do goldfish.
I need a bite.
I'm not even lying. I keep sneaky snacks in the car.
Yeah, I have snacks.
Do.
That's an interesting idea.
Ziploc bags full of snacks in the car, and every time somebody gets a little, I want to hear stuff your face.
You know,
and they're fine with it.
The peanut butter crackers, the Lance ones, because they don't have high fructose. I look for anything that doesn't have high fructose corn syrup in it. So
yeah, that's
the
what I do too.
The Keebler ones have high fructose corn syrup, so I'm like, I'll just go with the Lance ones.
Well, so. And I can't handle peanut butter in any form. So
oh, you can't?
No, I have a phobia of peanut butter.
You it's have the a weirdest phobia.
It's the weirdest thing on earth. I swear.
Why do you have a phobia?
I don't know. I'm not allergic peanut to butter? Peanut. Yeah, peanut butter just freaks
See,
me out.
See, I actually have a problem after my pregnancy. The really raw, like the peanut butter that's not that processed. I can handle processed peanut butter. So like Reese's.
Yeah, the crunchy raw stuff that's separated with the oils.
Yeah, the raw stuff gives me massive migraines.
Ooh. Oh, no, I don't have anything that's like nitrates. That. And I love peanuts. I will eat peanuts. I will eat all sorts of nuts. As soon as you grind them into a butter, you open a container. It's the smell. It's just people mentioning it. It's the weirdest phobia.
Peanut butter.
I'm going to yell in the background. Sarah, what's the name of that place where you can throw the peanut shells on the floor? Best
Logan's.
Parents recommendation ever right now.
Logan's and Roadhouse and
Five
Guys.
You can do it at Five Guys. I think you can do it at Joe's Crab Shack too.
Yep, you can.
I don't know.
Yeah, you can.
And I know you can do it at places. What's the place that we went where you held up the sign in Vegas?
There's a Roadhouse.
Dick's Last Resort. Probably not the most kid-friendly, but it's great fun.
But the thing is, peanuts are fine. I'm totally fine with peanuts. I will shell peanuts. I will feed them to my kid. I will eat peanuts myself.
Well, there you go.
As soon as it is presented as a peanut butter, I want to run and hide in a corner.
Do you think maybe you had a problem with it as a kid, like you had got it stuck to the roof of your mouth or something? And it
my mom remembers nothing. No, my mom remembers nothing. And it was never really an issue because she was never affectionate towards peanut butter. And we were living in England when I was very small.
I never thought I'd hear the words affectionate towards peanut butter. That's great.
But so we didn't have a lot. Like I had exposure to Marmite, which proved to me that that was disgusting, but not really to peanut butter. And then we came to Canada and everybody wanted to feed me peanut butter. And it's like, okay, let's try it. And it's like, no, that's disgusting. Gross. Oh, get it out of my mouth. Butter. And then after that, it was like, no, I don't like peanut butter. No, I don't like peanut butter. And then it just grew and grew and grew until the point where my ex-husband used to chase me around the room with it because he thought it was funny. And
we have an allergy to it here, so we can't have it in the house, which of course means everyone else loves it.
Has an allergy?
Eden does. Eden's allergic to just about everything. So no, she definitely has an allergy to peanuts. When she was younger, in trying to get her to gain weight, we used to make her smoothies all the time. And there was a point where Eden would drink out of a sippy cup. So we would take fresh frozen fruit and throw it in the blender and would put in whole cream and would put in a couple of dollops of peanut butter and whiz that up into a great smoothie and she'd eat it. And she was as fat could be and happy and getting all the protein and nutrients that she needed. And then one day we gave it to her and her face blew up like a balloon.
Oh, no.
Oh, she looked like the little kid from Up. She was all chubby and round and she eyes were watering. And I took her into the emergency room. Aaron was carrying her. She was probably 13 months old. He's carrying her, facing away from him, and she's just vomiting everywhere.
Oh, no.
Just as he walks. It was like a stream coming out of her. And they were like, is there a problem? And Aaron was like, no. Very normal for
us. This is how she acts normally.
This is a typical Tuesday for us. How about a ton of Benadryl, please?
I feel so bad for any kid that has allergies, whether it be peanut butter, dairy.
Yeah.
It just, it's hard.
It's very hard to have a kid with allergies in the public school system.
Yeah.
Very, very hard. Because there are parents who feel, why can't little Timmy have his PB&J? Doesn't mean that your kid's going to eat it. You should teach your kid to keep their hands to themselves. It's not the way it works.
Yeah.
Some kids have airborne allergies. Some kids, you know, it's not like, I'm not trying to deny your child anything. Most schools, particularly I know here in Missouri, in Kansas City area, they don't serve peanut butter anymore. They serve sun butter, which is sunflower seeds.
Oh.
And the kids, most of the kids don't seem to have a problem with it. I like it. But I know that parents can get on their high horse about, why should my kid be denied? You should homeschool because your child has allergies.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Gracious.
Okay. Sure.
Oh, no.
It gets crazy. Yeah,
it's just peanuts aren't allowed in Will's school. And it's just a known thing. And it's like, fine, I don't care. The thing that amuses me is then when I walk into Albertsons and say, do you have any nut butters other than peanut butter? And they're like, there are nut butters other than peanut butter?
Oh, heck
almond,
yeah.
Almond butter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Do you make your own, Sam?
No.
Do you make your own?
Because that's kind of scary.
No. Get one of those things. It's a blender thing. It's called the Ninja, which is a great name for anything that cuts food up.
I saw an ad for the Ninja the other day.
Oh, it's great.
You can get those at Sam's Club.
To me.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You just put any nuts you want in it.
No,
I've done it. I've done it with that, and I've done it with a coffee grinder. And
I wonder if that would help me get over my fear.
Maybe if you're more in control of it. Yeah.
Be friendly with the food.
All right. Well, then let's move on to our family game night. This is where we talk about some of the fun games that we play with our family, whether they be board games, maybe some apps. I'm a big app person, so I always be bringing the apps to the table. So for me, Mateo has really been getting into this little game called Toca Builder. So Toca, there's a lot of Toca games on the App Store right now. So two of his favorites, Toca Builder and Toca Hair Salon. So aww, these are so cute. So Toca Builder is like baby Minecraft. And I did not think
I got to get that for Will.
I did not think that Mateo would like understand it because I had a problem. I'm like, what do I do with it? But I turned around the other day and he's like building stuff and moving this guy. And there's like a little, and each little dude has a different color and a different block, and then they roll around on a little ball and he builds up his little town, and it's impressive. I was like, go Mateo. So yeah, Toca Builder, it's adorable. And then you have Toca Hair Salon 2. So there's actually two of them out there. I have the latest one. This one is funny because you pick the person, he picks the person, and then you can shave their head. You can, you know, some of the men have beards, so you can spray paint it. You can put a hat on them. You can do, and it's so funny because every time Mateo picks one of the little guys, he goes, "Daddy!" He looks like
the dog.
It was so funny. And then he picked one of the girls and he's like, "Mommy." That was so funny. And he ends up shaving our head. So I'm like, I need to keep all the scissors away from this kid.
Hidden. Yes.
So both of these little apps, I'm sure you can get them on Google Play as well. But the Toca series, I haven't found a single game that they've made that I haven't loved. So, and Mateo loves them too. So
I like anything downloading where you can character create. Those are great.
Yeah. I'm downloading the builder right now because Will has been looking at my Minecraft game that I have on my iPad, which is called Blockheads. And he's like, "I want to play that." And it's like, well, it's a little complex and there's reading involved. And I don't think that that's fair.
Yeah, he'll probably love this builder one then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Will is a maker like me. So he likes to make things.
Yeah, it's fun. And then the cool thing about these little games, especially like with the builder one, you can work together. So you can say, oh, let's, you know, put a whatever on top of that building or what.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm getting that.
Toca Builder. Mini Minecraft, baby Minecraft.
Yay.
So how about you, Cleo?
My son's favorite game at the moment is Where's My Water in any and all incarnations of that game online. He loves that game. That's his favorite thing that he plays right now. What I wanted to throw out there, I talked to Nicole about this a little bit before we put the show together. There's a big, you know, I don't want to be that person on Nerd Parents who is, I'm here to represent the special needs population, because that's kind of not my goal. I mean, Eden's a part of our family and her special needs really don't define her. So I don't want to make them define me on the show. But I'm just trying to throw it out there.
But you have more knowledge than we do.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that I want to keep it pretty even handed because I do have two other kids, you know, who are going to go through a lot of the same stuff you guys do. I just feel like that sometimes the special needs population is really underrepresented and they really search for things, and it's hard for them to feel like they're included in general, but in a way for them to feel included technologically and the things that we like to talk about, the nerdy stuff, is kind of hard. So I found a website out there. It's called friendshipcircle.org. And they do a special needs app review, which is wonderful. And right now it's in the process of being upgraded, so it's a little hard to access at the moment. But if you go to the friendshipcircle.org and you search around that site, it's great. It's got great popular posts like, for instance, a couple that I'm looking at right now, 10 reasons why being a speech pathologist rocks, different things to consider before your kids go into feeding therapy, examples of inclusion, things like that. But in this app review that they do, they list a whole bunch of applications that they've used, not only with just therapists, but parents have used in their homes. And I thought some of them were great. There's assistive tech apps there's one called Speak Colors. So it teaches kids to use the words for the colors instead of just pointing to them. There's full reviews on all of them there. And the friendshipcircle.org is a wonderful, wonderful special needs resource for parents. And I would recommend anybody take a look at it. I go through it on my own, clearly for Eden, and I submit some of these things to her school for the vision therapists and the occupational therapists to use with the kids, because there are kids, the age range is from 5 to 21 at Eden School. So there's lots of opportunities for different kids to do different things. But these things are out there, and if any of the listening audience is in that position where they need that kind of information, please do not hesitate to get in contact with me, and I'll help you connect with fun stuff for your kids as well, because they deserve it as much as ours do.
Send us an email at nerdparents@gmail.com and I'll make sure that Cleo gets it. Some of these apps look great. I would even be interested in downloading them. One that the colors ones where you actually say there's some interesting like voice recognition apps out there.
There's great stuff out there. I'm really, really impressed with this particular website. Is amazing. I believe that they're based in Michigan, the person who does this website, but it's a really great collective. And what I kind of like about it, and I'll put something about myself out there a little bit. I like websites that when I interact with them, when I'm thinking about something that is so heavy, like the things my special needs child needs to thrive, like that's kind of a heavy topic.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. As a parent, I like it when a website, particularly this one, approaches me, and it's very fun, and it looks interesting, and it looks fun for not just me as a parent, but I can only imagine how much fun I'm going to find in there for my kids. And then I look at it, and I think these are some things that, you know, Colin would use, and he doesn't have special needs. They're just good developmental tools and great ideas, and they have a special needs calendar. I mean, they've got just some really, really great stuff, and it spurs you to look outside the box, which I think we can all do for all of our kids. It's definitely very easy to throw them in front of the TV, and which I'm not – hey, people, I do it. Absolutely.
Throw my kids
in front of that idiot box all the time. But
My Little Pony is awesome.
Yeah. When you want to get out there and you want to try something new for the kids, I mean, places like this, you're going to find opportunities for smaller kids that are developing, not necessarily special needs kids, but great applications for the whole family. And I think they're fun, and it's a great place to start looking around.
Have you looked at the Rosetta Stone apps? The Go-Go Lingo?
Those are wonderful. Yes.
I'm learning Spanish because it's like, bala, dance, and then the little thing dances.
It's
so cute.
Me gusta un cerveza, por favor.
Exactly. There's some amazing apps out there. So, all right. How about you, Sam?
Okay, I'm going old school. I'm going crayons.
Awesome.
Love it.
It is amazing what trouble you can get out of if you have a package of crayons in your purse. And it's like, I carry these, I take them away from restaurants, put them in my purse. And then, you know, even no matter where you are, it is amazing how you can keep your kid engaged. And you can do it together too, which is so much fun.
Yeah. Does Will have like an art easel or anything like that at home?
He has a table that is filled with crayons and markers and mats that he can do numbers and letters on, and paper that he can draw on. And he's been drawing planets lately because, you know, planets are cool.
That was one of the things. I don't know if you guys followed what Mark and I were doing. We ended up raising money for cancer research by giving out free plans for building an art easel. So my husband runs a website called The Wood Whisperer, and we made all of these art easels for kids. And so Mateo has his, and it's whiteboard on one side, chalkboard on the other, and then paper on, it could be on either side. But the idea is, has a little art center. But if anyone listening has a interest in building yourself one, we have free plans over on a website called woodworkersfightingcancer.com. So those plans are still there and people are still making them. So it was a cool little project. And it's, you know, great to see these kids like get into, you know, craft and art and all kinds of stuff like that. So
we are super crafty around here, and we love the poop out of crayons. We love them. We like to, you can break them up and melt them down and put them into like silicone ice mold shapes and get crazy colors. You can do all kinds of fun stuff with crayons. I think Sam's got a great idea there. Get old school, people.
Yeah. Do you guys do anything in the bathtub? Like I bring, we have some crayons.
Will has crayons that sort of work in the bathtub, but they're not as interesting as the toys that he can put under the water and make fart.
Yes. Agreed. If it's a toy that has like an air bladder, Colin's all over it. Yeah. But the minute you, if I gave him, now I, if I suggested, this is how my son works. If I used to have those little like soap crayons that you could color on the walls of the tub with, and those are fun until you have to scrub them off and then all the glory goes out of those. If I suggested, let's do, you know, let's get your crayons and let's go to the bathtub. My son would be the kid in there with a Sharpie. So, which would make my life not a whole lot of fun. So, and he's very much like Sam said, he's, if it's got an air bladder and you can squeeze the air out of it and make it fart underwater, it's the best thing that ever existed. And if it fizzes, if it fizzes like a bomb that you put in there and it goes zzz and fizzes everywhere in colors.
Haven't tried Will with a bath bomb yet.
Those are Crayola makes a lot of that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. How about you, Daryl?
Wow, these are such great ideas. I'm going to have to do this. We do crayons all the time. Violet is just nuts with them. We need to get more paper. We're always running out.
Right.
But I was going to say Bananagrams. I don't know if you've played this game.
I haven't, but I've seen it in the store, and I've always wondered about it.
Yeah, it's these little 3/4-inch tiles that have letters on them, like Scrabble letters. But they don't have numbers because they don't count for points like that. Mm-hmm. But the object of the game is you turn all these tiles upside down and you pick out, I don't remember the number, 11 or something tiles for yourself. And then you say go and you turn them all over and you try to make a crossword kind of arrangement of words. Mm-hmm. And the first one to complete their crossword thing wins.
Oh, cool.
That's the basic idea. And of course, Violet can't really spell much right now, so we just give her a pile of words and she pretends like she's making all these words.
Oh, that's awesome,
and it's pretty funny to watch her play along.
And she's like, here's my word. It's like, you know, 12 letters long, right?
Yeah.
I got a tip for you on the paper. Mm-hmm. Butcher paper.
Works at a newspaper, so we got one of those super giant rolls that they put on those giant machines that print newspapers.
One?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So we got tons of that. I need to get that out more.
That would take over half of Will's room. One of those rolls.
Yeah, I ended up, and it's funny because the width of it is the exact width of our coffee table. So I'm like, okay. And so I put it and I covered the entire coffee table. And it was funny because Mateo laid on it and I'm like, well, I'm going to outline them. And we made and then when he got up, I was like, look, buddy, there you are. And then we ended up coloring it in, and actually it was more me.
I'm going to do that tonight.
Yeah, it was a fun
epic.
Yeah, had a little mini Mateo.
If I lay my kid out in the driveway and outline her with chalk, are people going to talk?
Oh, do it. Do it. That sounds so fun. No,
I'm just sharing, officer. I'm just sharing with my children.
Exactly. I'm just trying to get them creative.
Definitely. Well, hopefully that gives some of the listeners some ideas of things that they can try out as well. So we have also our solicited advice. This is the portion of the show that you, the listeners, write in and ask us questions, and we try to give you the best possible answer that we can give you. But we're not therapists. We're just, you know, parents, the same as you, kind of doing our thing. So we got 3 emails this time. We have, and by the way, if you've written in and I haven't read it on the show, I'm reading everything. So it's all going to be on the show. It's just taking a little while to get every one of the emails into the show. So this one's from Adam H. in the Frog Pants chat room. So he says, dear Nicole, Samantha, Jane, and Cleo, and Daryl. He didn't know Daryl's going to be on the show. What a great first episode. I'm going to hijack the radio and play this the next time my wife and I are actually in the car together. I think she'd really enjoy hearing from other parents who want to punch all those helpful outsiders in the face. Yes, we were
so
very
much punching.
We were so violent on that first episode.
I know. We had rage.
we were driven crazy by all the speculation around our recent newborn sex during her pregnancy. Even though we wanted to be surprised and could care less about the sex, we were both secretly hoping for a boy, just despite everyone's predicting a girl. Well, we also kept our name choice to ourselves because we were tired of hearing everyone else's opinion on the name. Logan is now a healthy, gassy 1-month-old. My older kids, Marshall, 9, and Catherine, 7, are becoming proper nerds. We watch Doctor Who, Marvel shows, DC cartoons, and Star Trek together.
Yes.
Very good.
I even send them to a, oh, this is awesome. I even sent them to a video game programming camp in the summer. Unless we go through some post-apocalyptic disaster, computers and similar interfaces are going to be even more prevalent when it's their time to find careers. However, I have an issue with my son becoming extremely involved with video games. What are your thoughts on rationing video games and making sure your kids are well-balanced, i.e. outdoor activities, music, etc.? Have you thought about what you will do to ensure your kids experiment with other activities? If my hijacked work and my wife is listening to more episodes, please mention that I love her, Marie.
Aww.
And I appreciate all the hard work she does as a mom. Regards, Adam. Oh, that was such a sweet email.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
So Daryl, do you have, I mean, are your kids, since you have older kids, are they more inclined to video games and technology, or how has that been for you?
Well, they're all nuts about technology. Even Violet tries to get the iPhone once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do is we set up on the Wi-Fi. There's a thing where you can put in a MAC address, mm-hmm. and then have it turn on and off at whatever time you want. So
yeah, we talked about that when Brian Dunaway was on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it was called Skydog. Is it the same thing, Skydog? Or is it a different one?
No, it's actually built into the router, the wireless router.
Okay.
And ours is just a cheap piece of junk, so if it has it, I bet probably all of them do.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so that really helps limit their time. And I know experts say 1 hour maximum, but what can you do in a game in an hour?
Right.
So I think of 2 hours as more reasonable.
Yeah, I think it's good. I know for Mateo, when he was really in, like, if I were to give him his iPad, he would play it all day. But there is a point where he gets more frustrated with it. I'm like, okay, no more iPad. Now we're going to go outside.
Yes, exactly. There's a point where they start just getting cranky and going nuts.
Yeah, diminishing returns happen.
Well, and I find that Will is at an age now where he turns to me and says, okay, what do I do next? And it's like crayons or... let's go read a book about something
or go to
something
the park.
Like that.
Yeah,
outside, scary. Mommy will go outside for you because I love you. but yeah, like stuff like that. And kids tend to turn to you for options on doing things. So, I mean, I'm a great believer in Will letting me guide him through things and not necessarily push him.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that occasionally I say, no, you cannot watch Power Rangers because if you try and attack the dog again, all heck is breaking loose. So we're going to go and we're going to listen to calm music and you're going to build sparkly things on construction paper.
Have you thought of this? This is something that I do the way that Mark and I handle our kind of chores for the house is I don't mind cooking dinner. I hate picking out what we're cooking for dinner, but I don't mind it. And he usually does the dishes. So,
right.
But in order to pick out the meal, I hate it. So what I've done is I've gone through all of the meals that I've cooked and I put them on a slip of paper and we put it in a little jar and that's what we pick for the week. And then I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stress about, it's, 4 o'clock and I haven't cooked dinner. What am I going to make?
That's
know.
That's an awesome idea.
So you could use the same type of process where you have all these fun activities, whether it be outside, inside, maybe you put a video game in there, you make it fun, you make it random. And then you can say, okay, don't know what to do, pick from the jar and we'll do
and
that.
The other thing is get your kids involved in what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're cooking dinner, then they can help. They can do something, right? Even if it's just, can you hand me this from the fridge? And if you're cleaning up, then it's like, okay, so now I need you to go find all your toys and put them in their homes.
Right.
And get them involved in the day-to-day because it's not all about playtime.
Yeah.
And the organization, making sure that your room has all the books put away so that when it comes time to read books, you can find them.
Mm-hmm.
And making sure that they have responsibility as well as playtime in there, I think is really important too.
Yeah, I think it's good to ration. But again, it depends on the kid. So I know Mateo after about an hour and a half, that's about his limit of his iPhone, iPad. But he wants it. I mean, he loves playing those games. But I know that, and I even tell him, I'm like, even though you're two, I'm telling you, after this game, we're putting away the iPad and we're going to go outside, or we're going to go to the park, or we're going to, you know, I talk to him as if he, no matter if he can understand me or not, I'm assuming that he can understand me. And it does seem to make it better.
Used to the concept of you having a conversation with him about things that involve him, because he's a person too, right?
Yeah.
And he has his own priorities. And then when he's old enough, he can say, I like the idea of the park, but can we go to this one over here instead? Because it has that slide that I really like. You know, and it's, I think the whole thing, and it comes down to the basis of all parenting, is you know your kid. And if Will is watching 5 minutes of Power Rangers, that's too much.
Yeah.
If he's watching half an hour of My Little Pony, that's great, because he'll end up hugging the dog instead of trying to attack him from behind a corner. You know, but
yeah.
If he's working on reading and things like that, he can play for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
How about you, Cleo?
You know, my kids are kind of spread apart in age. Mm-hmm. Sarah was 10 when Colin was born, and Eden, for all intents and purposes, is an infant. So I never really I don't know how it's hard to explain. I never really felt like I needed to limit her on stuff like that. I really always kind of wanted to encourage her interest, and she always had an interest in whatever we were doing. At the time when she was born, my husband and I were pretty hardcore raiders in World of Warcraft, and she just took an interest in it, so we let her play with it, you know? And when it came to other things, I think as kids get older, particularly if your kids are in the public school system, they develop their interest based on a lot of what their friends are doing, mm-hmm. and not necessarily that their friends are going to be doing a lot of what you do.
Right.
So I think they're going to have a lot of non-nerdy friends, and they're going to have a lot of friends that they want to spend more time with. So now let's play basketball, and well, I really want to try karate because so-and-so is doing it. And I think that they'll bring that to mm-hmm. you. Most kids will. And there are going to be those kids who are really quiet and kind of want to be pushed a little bit, mm-hmm. but they will light up. If you watch them, they'll light up when they talk about something, or they'll have an interest that really stimulates them, and you'll pick up on it. And those are the things that you will find your way to showing them things on the computer. Hey, look, there's a camp for that. Oh, you like archery? Hey, did you know that there's this? And you can talk to them about different things. Why don't we go look for it? Let's go fishing. And you can try and see what they're into. Mm-hmm. They'll show you very quickly if they're not really stuck in. If they're not mm-hmm. into it, or they feel pressured to not be, I'm not as good as everyone else, so therefore I'm not mm-hmm. going to stick with it. I mean, I give you if I paid for 6 months, guess what? You're going for 6 months. But if you're not into it, I mean, there's no pressure. I want my kids to be happy exploring things, not pressured to be something that they're not prepared for. So
It's an interesting thing what you said about sticking with something, because when Will first started to draw, he wasn't interested in drawing because he couldn't do it very well, mm-hmm. right? And he and I had a discussion. It's like, he said, well, when I'm five, I'll be able to draw better, so I'll start drawing when I'm five. And it's like, it doesn't work like that. Yeah. This is something that you need to practice at almost every day to get better at it. And you'll notice if you keep doing a little bit every day, you will get better and better and better. And it's like, okay, well, right now I can scribble. And then he started doing faces, and he's like, look, mommy, I can do faces now. And it's like, yeah, see, because you're practicing, you're getting better. And kids tend to see what other kids are doing or what adults are doing. And just like adults do, they judge themselves based on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes they're interested in something, but they're afraid to try because they're not as good at it as somebody else.
Yeah. The whole comparison.
Yeah,
I think that when you have nerdy parents, and sometimes, and this, I do not mean this as a slam against anybody who does this. There is a group of parents, and I don't feel that Adam is probably one of these people who, these are my interests, therefore they should be yours too.
Mm, right.
And don't try to live vicariously through your kids. If they're interested in something, they'll develop an interest in it on their own. I mean, share who you are, because your kids should know you as a complete person, not just as mom and dad. Because you were around before they were, and they should get the benefit of that. You know, knowing what you went to when you were a kid.
You've got to show them Firefly.
Oh, show them all the things. I mean, show them all the things that you did. The dumb things that you did, as well as the great things that you did. Share your failures and share your accomplishments. But if your kids are really into it, I mean, I can see, you know, they're being concerned. Well, my kid does nothing but play video games. My 14-year-old is very, very into Minecraft, super into it. And she's super into games that she sees her dad play, like Call of Duty and DC Universe. Sarah is 14. She's a 14-year-old girl. She likes music. She likes to do things with her friends. Not a big fan of algebra. Okay. Well, I mean, stuff's going to come and go.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, it's nothing static. I don't think that when kids are that small, you know, they're 9 and 7, that they're, you know, locked into a personality profile where they're like, I must have this all the time. And that's the end of it. I mean, they're going to change.
Right.
And I think that just exposing them to all that stuff now is great, Adam. And I think you're doing a great job with letting them just kind of explore at their own pace. If you feel like, you know, there are times where I've been like, all right, I got to do this in the house and it's got to get done and I need Sarah's help. But I'll look at her and I'll say, all right, you got 20 minutes left. It's not because I don't want you to play it. It's not because I don't want you to like it, but it's because life goes on while you're in the world of Minecraft and you need to come back to that.
Right. Join the rest of us for a while.
Join the living for a while. It's going to be there. It's not going anyplace, but you know, remember who you are and how you got there too.
Yeah. We also have another email from Jess. She just wanted to write in and say, thanks. I love your podcast. I really like hearing about an easygoing approach to parenting. I'm a new mom, Aussie, with a 9-week-old, and late night nursing is so much more fun with your podcast. Thanks again and keep it up. So I just wanted to say hi, Jess. I hope you're doing well.
Hi, Jess.
I know that late night nursing, oh, goodness gracious.
Right?
It's like it just comes flooding back to me thinking about it. So I totally.
It's a wonderful. If you can, enjoy it as much as you can because it goes away.
I will say this. I know some women enjoyed it. I did not enjoy it because it dealt with sleep. Like it would, like I need sleep. Like I'm a horrible person without sleep. And that was hard. But I had my focus. I like set my little mini goals for it. And I was like, you know what? If I could do this for this long, then that's what I'm doing. So.
Well, and that's the thing. I didn't get to nurse Will as long as I would have liked to because he eats more than any other baby on the planet. So I don't care who you are. You're not going to produce enough for this child. So we had to supplement to formula really quickly, unfortunately.
Well, a lot of people have to.
So those few weeks were amazing for me.
Yes, that process is interesting when you go through it. It almost feels, I don't know, it felt like it wasn't even me. It was weird. I don't know if you guys felt the same way.
Did you enjoy nursing, Daryl?
Somehow I knew that question was coming. I have no experience with that.
did you help like with the, you know, nighttime feedings and things like that?
Where bottles were involved, I was the master of the bottles.
Yeah, Mark would. Awesome. I would do the nighttime because when Mark wakes up, he could never go back to sleep. So I would do the nighttime feeding, but he was when the baby would wake up at 5 a.m. It was like we slapped hands. I'm like, you're tagged in, bud. We would do that.
I had kind of the opposite with Randy.
He was the nighttime.
He was the night owl, but once he went to sleep, he was asleep.
I did them all. My husband is a very, very heavy, heavy, heavy sleeper. And there would be times that I would find him kind of half slumped over the kitchen counter with powder from formula everywhere or breast milk all over the place. And I was just like, you know what? Go back to bed. Because this isn't pretty for anybody.
Yeah.
Just go back to sleep. But he's always been, if I've been sick, he'll take over. Now, I didn't get to shout it at you. My up and down this week was that my husband is back. He was in Germany for a week. So he's home.
Yay.
And he's home. it's a little bit of an up and down both ways. It's an up because it's great to have an extra set of hands around the house, particularly when we've had a snowstorm. It's great to have him around to help me with stuff. And now he's home and kind of we got into a groove and he shook it up because now that he's back. So it's the pro and con of having them come and go was kind of our up and down for this week. But he was.
Oh, did we lose
it?
Oh, no. I think she lost her connection. The internet doesn't want Carrie to tell us about her up or down.
No, not at all.
Why does it do that?
I don't know. What's going on?
I don't know. I'm not unplugged anything. I'm not even touching the desk. It hates me.
Yeah.
So just basically Aaron is great. If Eden's, she's on a feeding pump, which is like an IV pole, and it will go start beep, beep, beep when it runs out of formula. He's up like a shot in the middle of the night to turn that off so I don't have to deal with it. He will change your diaper when he gets up in the morning before I take up, before he goes to work, so I can sleep in a little bit.
Yeah, team effort.
He tries to help out as much as he can, yeah, which is great.
In the chat room, so we live stream this every Wednesday, and we're in the Frog Pants chat room, and people were, when I said that the memories are flooding back, they're all laughing. I didn't mean that, but apparently, you know. Breastfeeding, flooding back, da da da.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we need to wrap this show up. It's an extra long. I was like, we're going to keep it an hour, and now we're an hour and a half. So, Daryl, I just want to say thank you for joining us. We loved having you on the show. If people want to get a hold of you or listen to your awesome podcast, how can they find you?
Well, I'm at the Trek Nerd on Twitter. And if they want to go to thisweekintrek.com, they'll find my Star Trek podcast that I do with Michael Gaines.
Yeah, all about Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. I just a friendly reminder that if you're listening to this, we broadcast this live every Wednesday over on alphageekradio.com. There's a great setup over there, not just our show, but really almost all of the Frog Pants shows stream live there. We also have a forum now, a place on My Extra Life. So if you go to forum.myextralife.com, you can find Nerd Parents and you can meet other Nerd Parents and have conversations and ask questions there as well. All three of us are in that space, more so Samantha and Cleo. I don't know. I just never taken to forums. I try to, like, I go, oh crap, I haven't been on the forum forever. So
I might talk a lot on there.
That's all right, though. That's why you're there.
That's true.
The talk. So if you want to get a hold of us, you can write us at nerdparents@gmail.com. And of course, the website is nerdparents.com. You can follow all of us on Twitter. So like Daryl said, he's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. I'm Nicole Spag. Cleo or Carrie. I'm going in between your names.
I know.
Hers is Coffee Please. It's PLZ, Coffee Please. And then Samantha is Sam Jane. So just want to say thank you again for tuning in. And next week, Eric, who we just were answering his question from the Mr. Mom Daily podcast, will be on next week's show with us. So take care and have a wonderful week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Thanks for having me on. Bye.
Yay. Good luck.
Visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.